Welcome to the Man Cave, where we're recording the Diz Dads podcast, episode number 34. Tonight, we're continuing our series inspired by some threads that Nathan Trent posted on the message boards about what things come to your mind first when you think about each of the Disney World theme parks. Tonight, we're going to begin continue our task of determining which attraction, which experience is the single best, most important. You know, we've really struggled with a word to describe what we're looking for, and I'm going to try a new one tonight. The quintessential Walt Disney World experience for us as Diz Dads. Now, with me tonight to take on this task are Mark Pratt.
Evening, everybody.
Nathan Trent.
Hello, everyone.
John Thomas.
Howdy, everybody.
And hopefully an unmuted Jason Gilbert.
Good evening.
Now, before we get to our tournament, I do want to take 1 minute and remind everybody about the first ever Diz Dads convention that's coming up January 10th through 14th, 2013. We're working with our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, to put together a really terrific event that we think everyone's going to enjoy quite a bit. Come and help us put together the details of that event at boards.dizdads.com. Most importantly, contact a Fairy Tale Journeys by Diz Dads agent to get yourself booked in with our group. We've got some terrific group rates at Port Orleans Riverside, at All-Star Movies, and at the Wilderness Lodge. We'll also be able to get a group rate on tickets. That rate isn't announced yet, but the savings has traditionally been 10 to 15% on the group ticket rate. We'd love to have you join us, and I think it's going to be a really great event. Moving on to the topic at hand. What we've done here, just to remind everyone, is we've taken and created a 64 experience seated bracket based on those threads that Nathan had posted on the boards. And these experiences include rides, shows, restaurants, even just sort of sensory experiences that you might really find memorable in the parks. And we've divided these experiences into four groups. There's the Mickey group that we started with last week, Donald group, Goofy group, and then tonight's focus, the Pluto group. Now, we anticipate that these tournament podcasts are going to take us through most of the summer, and if all of this goes as planned, we'll be releasing new podcasts on a weekly basis, at least until we complete the tournament. So, some ground rules. This is how it's going to work. I'll identify a matchup, and then I'll call on one of our panelists, and that panelist will tell us who wins that matchup and why, and then I'll ask whether everybody agrees. If there's any disagreement, then we'll argue it out. However, if everybody agrees with the choice, we'll just move on to the next matchup. Everybody clear on the way this is going to work?
Got it.
Yep. Sounds good.
Understood.
All right. Well, I think first up tonight is going to be Mark Pratt. And Mark, I'm going to ask you to pick the winner of Kilimanjaro Safaris versus the Epcot Festivals. Now, Nate, before he decides, why don't you kind of explain what we mean when we say Epcot Festivals?
Okay, the Epcot Festivals includes both the Flower and Garden Festival and the Food and Wine Festival. Individually, those two would not have made the list, but collectively, you know, they made it in there, and I felt they were important enough to make this list.
Okay. So, Mark, what say you? Kilimanjaro Safaris versus Epcot Festivals?
You know, at first, I'm kind of partial to Kilimanjaro because I have a friend, Rachel. And Rachel, if you're out there listening to this, please don't take offense, but I got to go with the Epcot Festivals. She's a great driver and all, but, you know, the festivals at Epcot really are amazing. And I would definitely go with that. The Food and Wine Festival, you know, you get I can't remember how many different more different countries than you already have. You know, I think it changes every year, but for the Food and Wine Festival, you know, you get to taste things that you normally wouldn't, you know, unless you actually are a world traveler, get to taste. And the flower, you know, the Flower and Garden Festival is really neat as well. And with the concert series and all that stuff that come along with that, really kind of push this one over the top over Kilimanjaro, over the safaris.
All right, anybody going to argue with Mark on this one?
I will not.
Wow, this would be a major upset. Kilimanjaro
Safaris? I have to go Kilimanjaro Safaris myself, but I haven't personally experienced the festivals.
Well, that's all right. So, Nate, talk to us about why you would go with Kilimanjaro Safaris.
just make, personal make the case.
Experience. Well, but make the case for what it is. I mean, Kilimanjaro Safaris was a number one seed here in the Pluto group. So, you know, what landed it there?
Okay. You know, had four parks originally. Me and you went back and forth about, you know, maybe doing each park in a bracket. So I did give each number one its spot in a bracket. And Kilimanjaro Safaris was a clear number one for Animal Kingdom.
Okay, so Kilimanjaro Safaris coming in is our weakest number one seed, it appears.
Correct.
But nobody's prepared to defend Kilimanjaro Safaris based on the attraction itself.
I looked at this list, and my initial inkling was for Epcot festivals. But, you know, I've never experienced them. I've just read about them. But whenever you're matching up and you're talking about the quintessential Disney experience, you know, you kind of lean towards Kilimanjaro just because it's unique. It's not like you go to the zoo and you're going to see something like this. It's, you know, like trying to bring up the experience of being like on an Africa trek or something, which is kind of neat in itself. But and I give that a lot of credit. But even though I haven't experienced the Epcot festivals, everything I've read about them just gives it that little inch over the top, I think, for me. So I can see where we're going with the Kilimanjaro Safaris being ranked high, but that's just a tough matchup for me.
I agree. I actually, when Nate said about the safari being the number one for Animal Kingdom, I wouldn't even have thought that, let alone a number one in one of the four brackets.
All right.
I could probably find four or five more that I would, maybe not just at Animal Kingdom, but I'd probably find four or five more attractions that could be a higher seed than that alone.
All right. Well, then it sounds like we have our biggest upset of the bracket so far, as Epcot Festivals, it sounds like, has swept past Kilimanjaro Safaris to capture the first matchup in the Pluto group.
Yay. Good job, Mark.
And that's why we have these podcasts.
That's right. All right.
I need my $5 now.
So, Nate, you're up next, and you get one of those intriguing 8-9 matchups. Living with the Land versus the Boulangerie Patisserie.
I would have to go with Living with the Land just because I have never visited that location in France to have one of their tasty pastries.
You're not even going to try and pronounce it?
No. I am from the South.
Okay, well, so it's Nate's vote is Living with the Land. Explain to us why, though. I mean, it's not just... Again, it can't just be because you haven't tried their pastries. What is it about Living with the Land that makes you think it should advance?
It is just a neat attraction. I mean, it's a nice, relaxing attraction, and it's never really hard to get on. And I like to find all the little hidden Mickeys along the ride. I'm a hidden Mickey freak, so I just enjoy that ride. It's a nice change of pace. It's been there since day one of Epcot.
Anybody want to argue with Nate about it?
This is another one that I thought was a pretty tight matchup. Of course, looking at the numbers, it's 8 and 9, so you can kind of see that. But I've been there in France, and the Neapolitan, I guess what it is, or the Napoleon
that they have.
Oh, man, it is so good, and their sandwiches are awesome. But, you know, my first thing I wrote down was the Boulangerie, but Living with the Land, looking back, you know, that's to me, that's one of our favorite things to do as a family in Future World as far as attractions go, because, you know, anybody can ride it, you know, even the little kids, and it's actually educational. You know, they can learn something along the way, and my kids love it. They just like to get on it and ride the boat ride, you know, so that was a really tough call for me, and I was kind of on the fence. So I had written down the Boulangerie, however you say it.
Patisserie.
And that's what I had written down at first, and it's just such a close call because, you know, I'm a big guy, and I like food. So that kind of maybe put it over the top for me. So I kind of went with the Boulangerie Patisserie.
All right, so we have a dispute here, and I think we've had the cases made, so let's go around the horn and take a quick vote. We so far know that Nate votes for Living with the Land, and we have one vote for the Boulangerie Patisserie. So I need the other two. Mark, what's your vote?
You know, I'm with Nate. If I can't pronounce it, I ain't eating it. And
I would disagree with that, Mark.
Okay, shush. The Living with the Land, you know, I don't know what it is about that ride. You know, it's nothing big. There's no falls. There's no excitement. But, you know, it's a place where I can just go, and I've caught myself taking a nap on it. You know, kick my shoes off, relax for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it takes. And plus, going through the greenhouse is really neat to see what they've come up with, you know, what's new and exciting. You know, where else are you going to see a watermelon tree or a 9-pound lemon? You know, really.
This
so,
is true.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like Living with the Land.
All right, are we going to have a tie here?
Not at all. I'm going with Living with the Land as well.
All right.
Yes.
Just because there's never a line.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree, and I think what everybody has said is true. You know, for me, I love the Boulangerie Patisserie. One of my favorite things for us to do is to hit that right before we leave the park, and then we can, you know, pick up a bunch of pastries and bring them back to the resort for breakfast the next morning. Just a tip. We love doing it. But the bottom line for me is, if I was going to be going to Epcot and I had to choose one or the other, I think I'd choose Living with the Land every time, unless I was just starving. And frankly, there are other food options. You know, there are other really good bakery options. There's not another Living with the Land. It's unique, and it's really one of the last of the true educational experiences in Epcot. That's, you know, an unabashed attempt to do edutainment the way Epcot Center originally did edutainment. And so for that, I think it has to advance, and I'm glad to see it is.
Okay, you won me over. We'll say that that's a sweep.
That
all right. So, John, you're going to be up next.
All right.
Oh, wait, Jason, you requested this one, didn't you? So, Jason?
Yeah, you can give it to John.
I can give it to John? All right. John, this is a 5-12 matchup. Big Thunder Mountain versus It's a Small World.
Okay. As far as rides I want to ride or would like to ride, definitely Big Thunder Mountain Railroad would win. And I thought at first that that's what we were doing, like just match up to match up against each other, you know, what our favorites are. But as you were introducing this, you were saying, you know, like we're talking about the quintessential Disney World. And how can you not think of It's a Small World whenever you're talking about Disney World? I mean, it's got to be one of the, you know, a lot of kids, that's one of the first things they think of besides the castle, at least in my household, is It's a Small World. Because, you know, that song gets in your head and it never leaves. So, may not be a good thing to some people, but, to me, that is something that's kind of quintessential Disney, It's a Small World. There's lots of roller coasters out there. But there's not a whole lot of It's a Small World.
All right. Now, John, you've laid down the gauntlet.
I know.
Is anybody going to argue with him about
sure
Small
are.
World advancing?
No, pick me.
Let's hear it, John. Or, I'm sorry, Jason.
That wasn't me.
Oh, was that Mark?
That was.
All right, Mark, let's hear it.
You know, I can tell you, if I could ride this ride with a set of headphones on or some earplugs in, it might be tolerable. I mean, yes, of course, and I might get heat for this, but it is, you know, one of the original, you know, whatever top 10 rides from, you know, Walt's past. But you know what? This ride scares the dickens out of me. And especially, you know, my kids get kind of creeped out on it now, too, since they rode. They read the Kingdom Keepers series. Spoiler alert. So, it's kind of a creepy ride for us all now. And if you've ever had the joy and the experience of being stuck on it, you may need therapy for the rest of your life. Whereas Big Thunder Mountain, it's pretty exciting, and seeing my kids on that for the first time, it was pretty cool, and we still get a kick out of Big Thunder. So, you know, Big Thunder is my pick for this one for by far.
Okay, so it's 1-1, and Jason, what are you going to do with this here?
Again, if we had to pick a ride, it would definitely be Big Thunder Mountain. But as far as quintessential, as John put it, it has to be Small World. Even though I can't stand it, both my kids love it, and it just wouldn't be Disney for us if we didn't ride it 25 times, unfortunately.
All right, so we're 2-1. Nate, is the upset brewing?
I see the guy's point on It's a Small World. And if we were talking Disneyland, It's a Small World, I could go with him. But I've got to go with Big Thunder Mountain because my kids are now teens, and that is the ride they prefer. So for my kids, Big Thunder Mountain. Spoken like a dad.
Well, that puts me in a very interesting position because now I have to break the tie between Big Thunder Mountain and It's a Small World. And I'm torn because...
Is this your first tie?
No, we had at least one last week.
Okay.
But you know, the thing, I'm torn here because if I'm voting just for myself, then the answer is probably Big Thunder Mountain. But I'm kind of not, you know? I'm voting for my family as a Diz dad. And just as for Nate... For his family, his teenagers, you know, they're running from Small World as fast as he is. You know, for me, my kids are still younger. My oldest is 9, and she still likes Small World, although she does, you know, complain about it a little bit now. It's not quite the same. But, you know, as much as we make fun of the song, as much as some of the dolls can get a little creepy looking... It's still an attraction that the whole family can enjoy together. It gets you out of the sun. It's a nice, comfortable ride. The line moves fast. And it really does say Walt Disney World. It's not a ride that you're going to find in any other theme park anywhere. So when it comes right down to it, we got another upset. It's a Small World over Big Thunder Mountain.
No! Woo! It's definitely the Walt Disney ride if he was, you know, part Stephen King, perhaps.
Did we just upset the Dis Dads universe? Like, are we going to all fall into another dimension?
Well, it only advanced one round. Let's give it some time. Give it some time.
Y'all feel that shift in the universe?
But like I said, it's not what you want to ride. It's, you know, like you said, it's when you're thinking Disney. And how can you not get that out of your head, right?
I mean, the earwormness of
you
it
really can't.
Alone is part of what makes it, you know, the winner here. All right, so Jason, have you gone yet? Has everybody gone once now? Let's see. No, Jason, you're up.
I'm up.
All right, so you've got the 4-13 matchup. This may be the most slam dunk matchup of this quadrant, but you've got Toy Story Midway Mania versus Mouse Gear.
I have 4 letters for you. TSMM. All the way.
Go ahead. Give us the rationale. It shouldn't take long.
There is no rationale. I can't even think of one. When I saw that matchup, when I was looking at the grouping here, I'm like, this isn't even close. I mean, Mouse Gears is a store.
Anybody want to defend Mouse Gears?
I will not defend Mouse Gears, but I'll tell you how it made it. I mean, it's probably one of the best gift shops in all the parks, so that's probably how it made it. It got a lot of votes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely one of the things we have to hit when we're at Epcot, because the kids always want to go through there, if, you know, not even to buy, but just to look around. But... Yeah, Toy Story, that's, you know, big time, heavy hitter there.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'll agree that Mouse Gear is a really nice store. But the reality is that anymore, You know, Mouse Gear isn't really that different than the Emporium, that isn't that different than, you know, World of Disney. I mean, you know, the mega stores that are in the major parks and in the in Downtown Disney, they've really become pretty homogeneous over the last few years.
Yeah, they all sell the same stuff pretty much, so it's
I'll
not
tell you
unique.
now, even with the price of the ticket to get into Hollywood Studio and the 4 hours I might have to stand in line in the Fast Pass for Toy Story, I'm still coming out ahead in my wallet if I go to Toy Story.
This is true too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't get a Fast Pass or wait 2 hours to go into Mouse Gears.
All right. Well, I don't think we have to belabor the point, but Toy Story Midway Mania in a landslide over Mouse Gear. And we come back around to Nate for an interesting matchup here, the 314 matchup. We have Spaceship Earth versus Tom Sawyer's Island.
For me, it's a no contest with Spaceship Earth. I mean, the company I work for sponsors Spaceship Earth, and it is just a good a spectacle as the castle, as an icon.
Anybody want to argue with Nate on this one?
No way. You
Not a
know,
chance.
you got Spaceship Earth. I mean, it definitely is one of, you know, one of the top 10 places that are photographed within Disney World. You know, next to the castle and all that. And you know, Tom Sawyer's Island is pretty cool. You get to go over there and play around on it, and if you know, it's got the paint brushes they hide every day, and you can get, you know, your fast passes with those. But it just doesn't compare with Spaceship Earth.
All right. Yeah, there's real no contest there. So let's move right along to our 6-11 matchup, and let's see. This would be Mark, right? Mark, you've got Animal Kingdom Trails, and Nate, you might want to kind of fill us in. What do we mean when we say Animal Kingdom Trails?
This is similar to the Epcot festivals. Any given trail would not have made it on its own, but collectively for that park, the Pangani Forest and the Maharaja Jungle Trek and the trails around the tree, you know, that makes up a large part of that park. So collectively, they made it into this list, and I felt they deserved it.
Okay. So they came in as the 6 seed against the number 11 seed, the Akershus restaurant in Norway. Who's the winner, Mark?
You know, I really like the trails at Animal Kingdom. But you know, for a regular table service credit, you get to get all the princesses, which is what, you know, you'd get at Cinderella's table as well, with two credits. So, you know, our kids love Acker House, and they love seeing all the princesses there. I'll tell you a story of the last time we were there. We went with my wife and I and our friend Chris, Marianne, and Josh, and my wife gave me a shirt, and it was, you know, it was the prince on the front of it, Prince Charming. It says, "Sorry, ladies," or, you know, "Sorry, princesses, this prince is taken," or something like that. Well, unbeknownst to me, Chris wore the same shirt because his wife picked it out for him. And as we're getting a picture of the two of him and I with Cinderella, I looked down and realized what we were wearing and thought, "Great, everybody's going to think we're a couple. This is beautiful."
Okay, Mark, we need that picture. It needs to get posted with this
Yeah, why
podcast.
isn't that one on the boards yet?
Yeah, we'll find it. We'll dig it out. It's somewhere. But yeah, that's one of those memories that you get while you're there. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff. I like the Acker's House.
All right, anyone want to defend the Animal Kingdom Trails? Wow, we're gonna get a clean sweep upset.
Well done.
Yeah, you know, I kind of saw this one coming. Ocker's House is one of those sort of you know, secrets that's out of the bag. I think for a long time it was one of the best kept secrets of Disney World that you could get a princess experience without having to pay for the castle, which obviously makes any wallet conscious Diz dad a happy dad. But you know, it's also a nice meal. I think it's a more relaxed atmosphere than the castle, which is kind of nice. And yeah, I can't argue with it. You know, even if my son's, you know, one and only picture from the restaurant involves him sticking his tongue out at the long line of princesses that were coming around to the table. Okay, so let's see. It is John's turn, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And John, you get a very interesting matchup here, straight out of Hollywood Studios. The 7-10 matchup, Fantasmic versus the Osborne Lights.
Yeah, this is a good matchup. We saw the Osborne Lights back in our first trip to Disney World back in like 2004, I think it was. And it was before they had expanded it and moved it over to where it is now.
Right, over to New York Street.
Yeah, yeah. And it is neat, you know, to see all of those lights and the way that they do it with the little, you get like the fake snow and stuff as you're walking through Christmas music. It's really cool. But then again, it's just light. It's just Christmas lights, right? I mean, in a way, that's the way I look at it, because Fantasmic is such a unique show, you know, with, you know, they're projecting the video on the water. You've got your fireworks going off. You've got your dragon and the interaction with Mickey, the whole story. It's to me, this, you know, Osborne Lights might start out a little bit, you know, looking pretty good. But once Fantasmic comes out, it's just going to blow it away, because it's so unique. So it's just hard to have. It's hard for me to give Osborne Lights the win here, just because, yeah, there's a lot of lights and it's really cool, but Fantasmic is just such a unique experience that you can only get in a couple places really in the world, with like Disneyland and Disney World. I don't know if they have one in one of their other parks, but yeah, it's definitely unique. And it's, to me, whenever I think Hollywood Studios, one of the first things I think of is Fantasmic.
Okay. Well, anybody want to argue with John's take here?
Yeah, I really like Fantasmic. It's a fun show. You know, once I've seen it two or three, four times, it's the same show. But it is, you know, he's got a good point. It's, you know, the only other place you're going to see something that cool is the World of Color, I think, in at Disneyland.
Oh, and Disneyland fans would argue that their version of Fantasmic is superior.
I would probably go with them as well on that. But, no, you know, we got a good laugh last time we were there, too, that the boat with the monkeys on it, you know, ended up running and hitting into the bank right in front of us because they weren't paying attention to what they were doing. But, you know, the Osborne Lights, that, you know, anytime you can put the Griswolds to shame, that's pretty cool. I mean, they've got, I can't remember how many million lights they've got up there, you know, every year. And, you know, now with the, you know, they've intertwined kind of the Phineas and Ferb and Dr. Doofenshmirtz taking over the place kind of thing. And, you know, the Nemesis, of course, you know, taking over the place and shutting the lights off or whatever, and they got to find it. You know, it's pretty cool. It's a nice show. But, you know, so this one's a pretty tight one, I think.
And so who are you voting for here?
You know, I would probably go with Fantasmic. It's a pretty neat show, but.
All right, so we still don't have anybody who's speaking up for Osborne Lights. I mean, you know, I'll make this argument. I was blown away by the Osborne Lights. You know, obviously a little background, you know, being the Jewish guy on the panel tonight, you know, Christmas lights aren't so much my thing. I mean, I don't pay attention to Christmas lights most of the time. But when I was there in December, I was just floored. That display is unlike any display that I see ever. The complexity, the level, it's every, you know, show place neighborhood raised to the 10th power at the Osborne Family Lights. It was truly just a experience that you can't see anywhere else. And you can't see it anywhere else because no neighborhood in real life would allow it. The you know, it would light up a neighborhood like a landing strip. So there's no place that would ever allow that kind of a display, you know, of that magnitude. and you can only see it at Walt Disney World. And to me, that makes it, you know, really uniquely Walt Disney World. You know, you can see Fantasmic in Disneyland. And like I was saying, a lot of people would argue that the Fantasmic in Disneyland is a better Fantasmic. How can the second best version of Fantasmic come out ahead of a truly unique, one-of-a-kind show like the Osborne Family Lights? Now, I don't get to vote unless we're tied, so I guess I'm hoping that I can force a tie here with some persuasion. I don't know. Did I convince anybody to come over to my side?
Man, is that the lawyer coming out of you or what?
I'll take your side.
All right, so
I'll take your side, Aaron.
Let's hear it.
As you said, it is the only place you'll see something like that. Maybe I'm partial as my family, but my daughter is not a fan of the fireworks and explosions and stuff like that. So Fantasmic wasn't a very good experience for us. So that's something you have to really look into when you're making that arrangement, because or trying to go see that. You have to, you know, make sure it's going to fit for your whole family.
Yeah.
The only downfall personally I had for the Osborne Lights was that I was carrying a 50-pound son on my shoulders that fell asleep through the whole thing, and that made it a little difficult. But the nice thing was I knew where he was. He wasn't off running looking at something else.
Right.
But I, to be honest, would pick the Osborne Lights over Fantasmic as well.
All right. Well, so John, you seem to have a counter argument to make here.
Yeah, it is unique. I give you that. But there's some places around me here in the North Texas area that people they go all Griswold, and it's not nearly the level that Osborne Lights is. I'll give you that. But it is a form of that, you know. It's a piece of that. But there's nowhere I've been other than, you know, Disneyland, where you're gonna get all of the different unique aspects of the Fantasmic show. All right. At least not in my experience.
And I will admit there is one minor strike against Osborne as compared to Fantasmic that I have to admit, and that is that, you know, Osborne's only up for, what, about a month and a half, 2 months? And Fantasmic is always there. So, you know, I guess you do have to consider that when weighing, you know, who advances. I'll admit that. Let's go ahead and just go around, take a quick vote, see whether I even need to break a tie. So, Nate, what's your vote?
I haven't experienced either one of them.
Interesting. So, Nate sits out. It's all right.
I would have
to get out more.
Well, I can't stand Hollywood Studios that much, so I never stay for Fantasmic. It's not that I can't stand it. It's just that my family gives out on that park real easy.
If you were there in December, Nate, which would you want to go see first?
You know, kind of like John, we have a lot of light displays around where I live. Bristol Motor Speedway goes all out, lights up the whole track area. So I can see Christmas lights here.
That's true.
So I would have to go with Fantasmic.
All right, Mark, what's your vote?
Oh, I say not only do you get the fantastic lights at Bristol, you also get the smoke and tires.
And drive on the track.
I'm going to go with Fantasmic. I mean, fantastic is almost in the name there. Come on.
All right. And Jason?
Osborne.
And John?
Fantasmic.
Okay. Gotcha. And there it is. Three votes for Fantasmic, and in a tight one there, Fantasmic pulls it out. All right. And now we have our last matchup of the night, and this one goes to, I'm sorry, Jason, is it your turn or John?
I think it's mine.
All right. So number two seed Haunted Mansion versus the, in my opinion, desperately underseeded Main Street Electrical Parade.
I have to agree to that the Electrical Parade is grossly underseeded. And being as close to Lehigh University as I am, it makes me want to take the 15 seed over the number two just for what they did this year. It's so hard to not take them that I'm still tossed up, and we're talking about it already. Both have... They are both quintessential Disney. When I go, that is something... Both of those things are something we do every time we're there. And even my daughter, again, comes back to her because she's the scaredy cat and doesn't like certain things. She will ride Haunted Mansion because she knows that there's hidden Mickeys, and that's what she wants to look for. But then she also knows that there's Mickeys in the parade, so we'll watch the parade. And it is, I think this was the hardest one of the whole bracket, to be honest. To look back at my first trip ever, though, and for what I remember, I'm going to have to go with the parade.
Okay. So we have the parade. Then I assume there's going to be somebody who's going to argue in favor of Haunted Mansion instead. So who's going to speak up for Haunted Mansion?
999 ghosts disagree.
Amen.
Do I hear that Nate and Mark are in camp Haunted Mansion?
Haunted Mansion. All the way. I don't even like the Main Street Electrical Parade. I'm a Spectro man.
Okay.
It's got to be Haunted Mansion.
How about you, Mark?
Oh, it's definitely got to be Haunted Mansion, especially after the new enhancements that they've done to it. You know, with the new queue, the interactive queue that they've got, it's really fun. And the enhancement that they made to the ride, especially the Hitchhiking Ghost. And for those of you that haven't been there, I'm not going to spoil that for you, but it is 10 times cooler than what it used to be. I'll guarantee you that.
All right. So, John, it's coming down to you here.
You know, I can definitely see this go either way, just because I love Haunted Mansion. It's one of my all-time favorites. But back to where we were talking about quintessential Disney. Yeah, Haunted Mansion is very unique, and it's great. But also, you know, the Main Street Electrical Parade is also another one that I think of whenever I think Disney. So this, to me, this shouldn't have been of like a number 2 versus 15. I definitely think Main Street was... underrated, but since, you know, Haunted Mansion is my all-time favorite ride, I'm just gonna have to give it that little tweak. But I could definitely see Main Street Electrical Parade winning a lot of other matchups.
Ouch! So you're really gonna do this to me? You're putting this in my lap because now we're tied 2-2.
But I'm going with Haunted Mansion.
Oh, you voted for Haunted Mansion? Okay.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, I was giving props. Yeah. I was giving props to Main Street.
Okay.
Just against Haunted Mansion, that's the only one of the few,
right,
that I think it would actually just couldn't quite get over the top.
All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't stick me with making that call, because that would have been difficult.
Yeah, I'll take the flame mail.
Okay.
All right. So just a quick review of tonight's matchups. We have Epcot Festivals upsetting Kilimanjaro Safaris in a 16-1 versus 1 upset. We have Living with the Land surviving Boulangerie Patisserie. It's a Small World upsetting Big Thunder Mountain. Toy Story Midway Mania over Mouse Gear. Spaceship Earth holding off Tom Sawyer Island. Animal Kingdom Trails going down in an upset to Akershus. Fantasmic surviving a tough battle with Osborne Lights. And Haunted Mansion squeaking by Main Street Electrical Parade. Well, you all have heard our opinions of who should have won these matchups. We'd love to hear what you think. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our website, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or participate in the discussions in our new forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Nathan Trent.
See y'all.
John Thomas.
Good night.
Jason Gilbert.
Good night, everyone.
And Mark Pratt.
Have a magical night, everybody.
Tune in next week, where we'll take on the Donald Division. Nice job, guys.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.